Heavenly Father, we just want to acknowledge you in our midst. And we seek nothing but to hear you speak. We seek nothing but to see you move. We seek nothing but to see your will manifest in our presence. So I simply ask that our ears would be attuned to you, that our hearts would be open to you, and that your will would be accomplished in your people in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I always enjoy speaking, especially when I don't know what I'm going to say. I told Terry last night, you know, as we were fellowshipping, and so I need to go home and find out what I'm going to say. And I do have a few verses, but it's always interesting to me when I have to fully rely on him speaking. And for the most part, when I speak to you, I'm not as interested in what I have to say as I am what he speaks to you. Okay, now for some of you that may not make sense, because you say, well, he speaks to me through what you say. That's good. But when you get revelation directly from the Lord, the messenger becomes less important than the message. And what's important is the message that God wants you to get. Okay? So that's really what we're trying to accomplish when we speak. It's not so much about the messenger, because a donkey spoke in the Bible. I'm not comparing myself to a donkey. But the message that God wants to speak individually to you and to us corporately is important. Okay, the Word of God is important. The preaching of the Word of God is important. So, some of you, I guess, know me. I had a little procedure done this week, you know, put you to sleep. People are whispering, oh, what do you, I had a colonoscopy, okay? If there's ever a point in life that I've been clean, I am clean, okay? No polyps, all good. And, you know, I was asking the Lord, what do you want to say to your people? Give me a word. You know, by that I mean a whole message, you know. But sometimes the Lord takes you literally. So as I was coming out of anesthesia, this could just be delirium, or it could actually be God speaking to me. One word. Together. And I thought, okay. So Friday night while we're in prayer, I'm looking up everything I can get on together, and I'm looking to get inspired and receive revelation of the Holy Spirit. And we get done with time of prayer and get in the car, and I look at my wife and I said, I got nothing. Just this word, together, that I feel the Lord's given me. Together. So we're going to talk about together. I don't know really what that looks like. I don't know what I'll say, but I do have some verses, so I have some guidance, okay? But the joy of it all is we get to do it together. So if it's really bad, we can laugh at me and, you know, enjoy that time. If God speaks the way he wants to speak, you'll all get something and think it was great, and then I'll feel good about it even though it had nothing to do with me. You know, that's kind of how things work when we do it together. So I don't need to break down the meaning in the root words of all this, and I know some people like that, and it's pretty cool, but the basic plan of the enemy is to divide us. It is to separate us. It is to isolate us. And you see that throughout the Word of God, and you see it throughout the world today. You know, we even live in a country that's, you know, independent of the United States of America. We're really not united on a whole lot. If we talk about anything, we get a diversity of opinions to the point that we don't even enjoy each other's opinions anymore. We don't want to hear them. We all want you to agree with certain ideologies, whether right or left, or I don't know why we call them right or left, liberal or conservative. But the point in all of it is to divide us. We talk about our differences and why we can't be together and why we can't hang out. And all these things are not from God. And the worst part about it is it's crept into the church. You know, I love where Apostle Paul in the scriptures talking and he says, you know, all things are permissible for me. Well, preach that doctrine. That's going to upset a lot of people. Well, you can't do this. Well, I can. Well, you can't. I can. It may not be beneficial to me. I'll tell you, people have trouble when we say our sin is forgiven. You say, I don't have trouble with it. Yeah, you do. Because you want to judge everybody's sin. You want to judge everybody's conduct. Guess what? It's been covered. I told you, I'm clean. It's going to take a lot of stuff to go in me before I wouldn't be clean. With Jesus, he's made me clean once and for all and forever. Sin is done with. What do you mean? I'm free from the law of sin and death, and so are you. Together with him, I can live free from sin and death. No division, no separation, no isolation. If you ever watch any shows, none of this has anything to do with what I want to talk about. You ever see like a herd of animals? You know, and you'll see the lions or whatever the predator has come, and they will try to get them to scatter so they can get one to isolate itself so they can attack the one, right? There's power in together. There's strength in together. See, the enemy wants us divided. So, Acts 2:44. All the believers were together. Simple verse, right? Acts 2:46. Every day they continued to meet together. In Hebrews 10:25, not giving up meeting together. So I tell you, I looked up some verses with together. So that was just three of them. You can see the importance of them, especially the last one, which I want to talk a little about because this idea that we can do life without each other is not an accurate biblical foundation. Okay, this idea that we don't have to do church, I can do church at home, it didn't come from the Bible. This idea that a pandemic is more important than us being together is not from God. Sickness should not divide us. Sickness should not isolate us. Regardless of what the rest of the world wants to say and the World Health Organization and all these other ones that really are just trying to manipulate and control you in ways of producing fear to make irrational, emotional decisions, we have a God that's stable, that changes not. And we can either trust in him or we can trust in a lot of stuff that's really not true. You know, truth can really be a matter of perspective anyways. Unless you go to God, you really can't know it. I can have a truth within this narrow perspective, and I am absolutely right. But as soon as I see another view of it, I'm absolutely wrong. And so many of us live our lives in division and isolation because we decide to live with the blinders on in this truth that's really not true. I remember once I was sharing with somebody, and I was taking a marriage class, and I thought it was the best thing I ever did. because I heard all these people whine about all these silly things that really weren't issues, but yet it was causing them to argue and bicker. But he left his underwear on the side of the bed. How is that a problem? Well, within their perspective, it was a real problem. You know, and we find the silliest things to split us up and divide us and to disagree about. And God's calling us to be together. Forsake not the assembly of one another together. Church is important. Gathering together is important. And we better start acting like it, because we don't. That was stern. You know, I grew up, and many of you can remember in this church, we were like here all the time. This is where we lived life. We had fun together. We played together. There was activities going on all the time. We had picnics after church. We had church twice on Sunday. There was all kinds of activities, doing all kinds of things. We lived life together. Okay. Acts 2:42. I really only have like five scriptures, so this should have been like 5 minutes, right? Oh, Jesus. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now we have a bunch of togethers in that verse. This passage of scripture, there's a number of things you could pull out of it, and I'm not going to do that. That wasn't my point in bringing it. Here's the first picture of what the New Testament church was. We see activity going on, but one thing we see is there was a passion within them to be with one another. Okay? If you are truly pursuing God, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? First we seek Him, vertical relationship. The outflow of that is we seek one another. If things are right with God, we're going to want to hang out. It's that simple. Now, the neat thing about it is they not only gathered in church, in the temple, they ate in each other's homes. See, I've had family leave the church, and I've talked with them and said, you realize that you're really separating yourself from the family. I said, why? I said, because church is our gathering point. We gather here, we can make plans to get together throughout the week. We can, you know, that's the point. We fellowship, we can be involved in each other's lives. We know what's going on. There's a connection point. When you miss the connecting point, you miss a lot. So this also explains one of the benefits of being together. And I think this is a key point that we often miss, is when we're together, the Lord does the work. Now, I'm not saying we don't get to participate with the Lord, but it's, the end of that verse is the best one. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. See, there is fruit when we hang together. I love every Saturday a group of us get together out in Lake Geneva. And we're like a different sort of people. You know, all different. And it's just cool, the different conversations and stuff like this. But there's something beautiful about it in that we are devoted to be together. And it's not that, you know, some people don't go on three-week cruises and can't make it for a few weeks or, yeah, that was you, Dan. You know, but we made him blog, so we felt connected to everything he was going through. But there's this commitment to look at life together and to debate and to disagree, and to look at things, and to learn, and to understand, and see how God's moving, and see what God's doing, to find truth, to reason it through, to get revelation. If you do it all on your own, you're short-circuiting everybody around you that you're meant to touch. See, there is fruit when we do life together. What's another benefit of being together? Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together. In one place, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So what am I saying here? I'm saying when we gather for a purpose, we can expect the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to be life-altering. See, this happened once in the Bible, right? Changed the whole landscape of Christianity. The Holy Spirit was given to everyone, right? It changed their whole walk with God. It changed their whole impact on the world. There was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Why? They were together. What happens to the ones that leave? They didn't get it. The ones that stayed together got the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's a benefit of being together. Another one, Matthew 20:18. For where two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. This is a very powerful scripture if you really grasp it. You guys are quiet. This is not a deep talk. Very shallow. We get to wade and splash, and right? Really. Here's the reality of it. We hang out for a purpose in Jesus. He's there with us. How do I know? He says so. If you need more reason to hang with people than that, I don't know who you're serving. And by the way, if you haven't given your life to Jesus, none of this may make sense to you. You don't understand the freedom that we have in talking. You may not understand worship. No, you need to know him. You need to be set free from the law of sin and death. You need to be set free from the condemnation that this world throws at you. There is a freedom in Jesus that you need to experience. If you need to know Jesus, ask somebody. It's really simple. It's you just say, Jesus, come into my heart. And he'll set you free. And then everything we're talking about will make a lot more sense. But the simple fact that when we gather in his name that he's there is enough reason to gather on a continual basis. It's a benefit of together. Ephesians 2:19. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. Now that passage would preach in of itself, but I'm just going to say this. One of the benefits of being together with him and each other is it creates a place of his dwelling. You know, he inhabits the praises of his people, right? It creates a place of his dwelling. You know, I'm all for a visit from God, but I'm even more for an inhabitation. So, some of the benefits of together. So this passage of scripture in Hebrews that talks about not giving up meeting together really grabbed me. So I looked at it a little bit more. So we're going to go to Hebrews 10, verse 22, and just walk through this really quick, then we're going to be done. Okay? Or I'm going to be done, you're not going to be done. That's a better way of putting it. You're going to have an assignment. Okay? It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So there's three activities, responsibilities that we get out of the together, right? All this prefaced to continue meeting together, right? Don't forsake it. And it says, and how do I know that it's referring to together? It says, let us. Us isn't just me, right? So odds are it's plural, more than one. So it's like a together, okay? Let us. It says, let us draw near. Now, this isn't something that is just a command, even though he is saying, let us. It's something that we can do. It's also something that we get to do. I have two young men wanting to marry my daughters. And they like actually talk to me, and every once in a while I'll talk to them too. They asked me a question, what's the best part of marriage? You know? And I said, well, I don't have to go through life alone. I get to do life together. And the beauty in marriage is it's not conditional. You know, it's like I've told my wife, she'll say, do you love me? I told you the once. Right? I meant it that time, and it's there you go. I vowed to love. It's till death do you part, and I'm not dying yet. So you know, it's funny, but it's also very freeing that I get to be me, good, bad, and everything in between, and we get to do it together. I have an assurance that till the day I die, she's going to walk with me. And I've given her thousands of reasons to break her covenant. I don't know if she's given me any yet. I get to do life together with her. And there's this assurance, there's this knowing that comes into your life that life is okay because I'm with somebody going through it with me. You know, when we come to the Lord, we have that same assurance. We don't go through it alone. Whether you feel him or not is not relevant. There's an assurance that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He who starts something with you can carry it through to the end. You know, there's this aspect of together we need to grasp. So let us draw near is the first one. So we get to draw near. Now, this isn't saying let you draw near. I expect you have your own individual relationship with the Lord, and that's awesome. It says, let us. There is something about a corporate experience when we gather for whatever same commonality that enhances the experience. You know, through the pandemic, you had sports activities where no crowds were in the stands. You know, and a touchdown was scored and there was no one to cheer, or, you know, it changes the dynamic of it. But get a crowd of 70,000 excited when a touchdown scored and the environment changes. You know, building and shake and all these things happen. It's the same dynamic when we raise our voices to the Lord together. If I shout, there's a noise. If we shout, houses tremble. Walls come down. How do we draw near to God? Together, we come to worship Him, right? We draw near to God. In our prayer, times of corporate prayer, we draw near to God. In the Word, we draw near to God. Now, that's just not reading the Word. It's also hearing the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. But there's this thing that happens as we're all hearing and Holy Spirit speaking, and He speaks one thing to you and one thing to you, one thing to you. And then if we do things right and we fellowship and we discuss the things that God's saying, we start piecing things together and get this picture of what God's doing and saying, and all of us are built up. Let us draw near. It happens only when we're together. Let us hold unswervingly, right, to the hope we profess. What is our hope? Our hope is in Jesus. Okay? Now that is a simplistic view. What does that mean, that our hope is in Jesus? Well, for many, and for us, see, Jesus overcame everything in this world, right, including death. So we have a hope not only that we can live this world and overcome it, but we will overcome the grave, right? We're going to meet Him. Death has no hold on me. I am now an eternal being. This is just a temporal world. How many know that we will have eternal life together with Him and each other? If you think you're just going to get your mansion on the island on the lake and not see anybody, sorry. That's just not how it's going to work. Why? Because we're all fit together to become the house of the Lord. But there's an aspect of, see, when we go through life isolated or alone, that's when you find people slip into all kinds of things and there's no one there to pull them out of it. Now, the word early on in the story of creation is really interesting, because you would think everything was perfect. You had God and you had Adam. What more could you need? Seems perfect, right? But God says there's a problem. It's not good for man to be alone, right? Now, we'd say, oh, me and God, I'm not alone. He says it's not good for man to be alone. Let him have a helpmate, right? So what did that establish? It established the need of relationship with one another. It established that we're supposed to go through life together. There are times that I can trip and struggle to get up myself, but if someone was with me, they could either stop me from hitting the ground or help me up and then help me get to my destination. There's another aspect of, as we go through things, it gets too hard and sometimes unbearable, that someone can just stand alongside us. You know, there's that verse that says, when you've done all you can do, stand. You know, now I don't know about you, but especially on these like little angled floors here that we have here, there comes a point, I don't want to stand no more. Sometimes standing's tough, but you know, when you link arms with somebody, standing's a lot easier. When you get it multiple, it becomes easier. The yoke gets lighter. The burden is lighter. You know, the load in life becomes easier. Things aren't as dramatic when we go through it together. We get to disperse all the emotions, all the thoughts, all the feelings. Everything gets, you know, down to a level playing field that we can actually cope with things that we weren't coping with before. We can hold unswervingly to hope when we go through it together. And the last one is, and I like this one, let us consider. You know, a lot of times we're reactive people. We just do. We don't think about it at all. And God gave us a mind, and yes, it's supposed to be renewed. We're supposed to have the mind of Christ. But let us, how many of you go home and think about all the people here and how you can do things to encourage them and spur them on to those loving good deeds? See, it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward loving good deeds. Encouraging one another. What would your day be like, assuming you have time to do it, if all you did was think about others and how you could encourage them? See, those are together words. There's a dynamic that we have in our lives, which is other people sowing into it. That's what we get to do when we go through life together. So simply, today is the call to do life together. God's calling us to do things together. I think it's interesting that as leaders and ministry leaders, we can plan activities, we can have things open for people, and there is not a lot of connection towards it or participation in it. When what you need more than anything is together. So often, our tendency is to go away from the things we need the most. And what you need is together. So I'm going to close this in prayer. I'm going to ask that everyone stands. And I'm not going to dismiss you. I'm going to ask that you simply do this. And this is like the honor system. If you have to go, I get it. I'm not like keeping score. Okay? But you may just have something someone else needs. You may be the handshake, the greeting, the hug, the word that someone needs to hear. And we need to start giving opportunity for that, not only when we gather, but also making plans to gather in each other's homes and stuff. So what I'm going to ask after I pray is that you get in groups and don't go to people you know. Literally, don't go to people you know. Go to people you don't know and introduce yourself and open yourself up a little. Be a little vulnerable. Share yourself. Share a need. Let them pray for you. Pray for them. You know, do something together that will build up another person, because that's what you're called to do. See, I've often wondered how the world would know we're his disciples by our love for one another if they never see our love for one another. And if we can't love another when we gather, how are we loving each other out there? And how are we provoking them to jealousy? There's a call to do things together, and we can't ignore the call anymore. So, Heavenly Father, I bless your people. I trust that you've spoken to each one individually exactly what they needed to hear. Lord, because you know their heart better than they know their own heart. But I know this, you have knit us together according to your word. and in your Son to be a place of your dwelling. Lord, you will work that out in us and through us with one another. So I bless together all your people. And I just ask that you bless their fellowship that is about to take place as they share themselves with one another, Lord. Encourage, build up, edify, move in us, be glorified, be exalted in your people as they just extend your love towards one another before they leave. Bless them this day, Lord. May favor be upon their life. And may the world see that we love each other so that they will be drawn to you. We thank you for it. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Put on some music and find somebody you don't know, get in a little group, and share with one another.